Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I are preparing our hearts to take communion with you during the broadcast. We talk about the shed blood of Jesus, in which is the introduction to the new covenant. We read from Matthew 26 and Luke 22 and discuss the truth of that passage. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus is the first fruit of this new covenant, and he gave us communion as a sign of that new covenant, just as circumcision was the evidence and the sign of the old covenant. We believe in the supernatural miracle called transubstantiation, when the juice and the cracker become the blood and body of our Lord Jesus. And it's important that when you take communion, drink all the juice that has been poured for this ceremony. Now let's join the program.
Well, we talked to you a couple of days ago about the fact that we're going to take communion today, so I hope you're ready. And just in case you didn't get that announcement, we'll give you a little time, and here in 10 or 15 minutes or so, while we'll take communion. We have our communion elements here in front of us, our crackers and our grape juice, and we're going to show you how we do that. And Barbara, would you talk to us about the card that's in the power pack, how that works?
Well, we have several cards on the blood of Jesus on praise and worship. And one of those cards, and if you'll read the latter part of your power pack, the first part is authority and dominion over, and you're talking about challenges in your life. Then the second half of the power pack, and I'm so grateful to Holy Spirit for giving us this idea, is authority and dominion in, and we talk about the love and the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And in that portion there about the blood of Jesus, Darren, we not only talk about the blood that covers us for salvation, but we talk about the blood for communion. And in this, and if you have card number 41 in your power pack, you just take it out, and we'll be talking more about it. And first of all, you have an affirmation, and we will be reading that out loud, and then confession of the word. And if you don't know how to take communion, it's really new to you, all you need to do is use these verses from Matthew 26, 28, and we're going to talk about that, and John 6. Other verses are from 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of thanksgiving which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? That's such a wonderful verse. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 11 that we talked about the other day. And when taking communion, then you read aloud, and Darren, you really love this from Luke 22, 19 and 20.
I do.
I really felt it's important. We're going to go through the Gospels here in our reading of the Word Power. And at the end of every book, and we're going to begin doing this. We're doing it at the end of Matthew right now this month. Mark is going to be next week, I believe, next month. I believe, Darren, it would be really important for us when we read the last part of Mark that has communion, we need to do communion again this next month.
Right.
Also in Luke, and when we get to John, we need to have communion in John 6 and 7.
And I would like to say ahead of time that if you want to get Luke chapter 22, we'll begin with verse 14. And I believe it's just an awesome scripture that talks really definitely about communion. And so I want to pray before we continue here, but I want to get ready, because the preparation for communion is very, very important. I wouldn't say it's as important as communion, but it is very important. Father God, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you search our hearts, and if there's anything there that's between you and us, anything in our hearts or in our lives that we have not acknowledged or taken time to face up to, Lord, today I just ask that you would let us know what that is, and perhaps it's been greed or lust or selfishness or envy or pride. Or maybe we've given in to telling little white lies. Well, that would be a lie, Lord, and that's against your Ten Commandments. And Father God, if we've lusted after somebody, the New Testament says we've committed adultery in our heart. And Lord, you're not here to condemn us. You're here to forgive us. And Lord, as one friend says, dear friend says, I want to be all confessed up when I go to communion. So today, Father God, if there's things exist in our lives or in our hearts, we'd ask you right now to take that away. We confess it as sin. We'll call it what it is. It is a sin. And we want to be liberated from that. So Lord, we just confess. We put it out there. We ask you to take it away and to cleanse us with the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for lovingly doing that for us. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Barbara, I have to tell you, right here in the studio, I just sense a release in the spirit. Like God is pleased with what we're doing here, and I think it's wonderful that we're doing this.
Yes. Well, first of all, a couple days ago in our reading in Matthew, we read about the Lord's Supper instituted, and this is the first time that they ever took the Lord's Supper. They had Passover. They prepared a room with, and they went and prepared a room that Jesus had instructed them to. But then he instituted a brand new thing, and this is in the New Covenant. And so before you read the one from Luke, I would like to read the one from Matthew just read. And this is from Matthew 26, and it starts in verse 26. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Barb, I think this is so important, and I notice there he makes a connection there about, you know, this is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. You know, I think if we would take communion often, and if we would go through, I'll say, the exercise of saying to the Lord, if there's anything in my heart. Now, Mark 11:23, it says, whoever says to this mountain, well, there might be a mountain of unbelief. There could be a hardness of heart. There could be a doubt or fear, just flat-out unbelief, or there could be arrogance or pride. Those are mountains that keep us from acquiring and achieving and walking into the blessings God has for us. And the reason he wants us to repent is so he can bless us.
Yes.
He wants to have that clear channel of communication. And, you know, sometimes between the husband and wife, things come up, or between friends, things come up, and, you know, you're sideways, and, you know, the communication isn't just real pure, and there's a problem.
Especially at tax time. You know, you grunge up all these old receipts and all these old bills from the year before, and you're going, now, why did you spend this on this? And, why did you do that? So there's lots of opportunity to get, you know, crossways. But
you know, why did I buy that pair of shoes? It hurt my feet.
You know? That's right. This ceremony is such a precious ceremony and blessed by the very God himself. What's so great.
This past year, Barb, in fact, the past 3 or 4 years, the Lord has taken me to this concept to say, all right, Darren, if you ask me, I will reveal to you what's in your heart. Because very honestly, we as humans get so busy with our natural world that we don't always recognize those things that have crept in. Maybe we let them in by conscious consent, or maybe they just got there. Who cares how they got there? But sometimes they say, Lord God, would you take an inventory? You know the inside of me. I don't know what's going on in there. Now, I know some of it, of course, you know, some of the obvious things. But sometimes we learn to compensate and say, Lord, I just don't feel like doing it right now. I'm really busy today, and I'll talk to you later. Wow. See me tonight or see me tomorrow, you know. And we put the Lord off. Yeah. What we really should do is say, you know, this speed bump is becoming a mountain. I would say foothill. And then it's a mountain. Then it's a gigantic mountain. And, you know, the Lord says, if you speak to the mountains and command them to rise up and get into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say is going to happen, it shall be granted unto you. Mm-hmm. That has been such a precious thing for me, because I say, now, Lord, I'm working on a big faith project here. I don't want there to be any blockages in there, and I know fear, doubt, and unbelief just negate faith. So if it's there, would you tell me? And if I haven't recognized, just tell me so that I can speak to that mountain. Because I'm responsible here to take dominion over what's going on here. And I know God will do the work, but we have to recognize the problem and go to him for the solution. So when I say, all right, Lord, you're showing me that there's a little fear there, a little doubt, and some unbelief, then I step back and I speak to it like this. I say, mountain of doubt, mountain of fear, mountain of unbelief, I command you to get out of here in the name of Jesus, and I say you're being cast into the sea.
Have you ever wondered why he said cast into the sea?
Well, you can't find it if it's in the ocean.
That's true. But also, we're baptized in water. When we are baptized after we're born again, right, we are baptized and immersed under the water. And also, isn't there a verse in the Old Testament that says our sins are under the...
Into the deepest sea of forgetfulness.
Is that just a song, or is that
I think that's
verse? If any of you have that verse,
call in. Let us know.
Yeah, call in and let us know.
We temporarily can't remember.
But I believe that has the connotation of when we have sin. You're right, Darren. That mountain might be sin, and when we give it to the Lord and ask forgiveness, He's going to throw that into the sea and cover it up, and it'll never be remembered again.
You know, some of the oceanographers will tell us that the oceans are deeper than the mountains are high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, being raised in the mountains, you know, I know the elevation of several mountains. One is Pikes Peak. It's 14,110 feet above sea level. I know that. And in the state of Colorado, we have several 14ers, as they call them, that are over 14,000 feet in elevation. And then I think of Mount Everest is 29,000 plus, and I don't remember the exact measurement on that. But the Mariana Trench out in the Pacific, at one point, I believe it's 37,000 feet deep. So I like the illustration of casting these things into the depths of the sea.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to go, and down where it's high pressure and it's very dark.
Yes,
and that's
right.
Where they can have the sin, as far as I'm concerned.
Praise the Lord. Now, in your in the Luke 22 that you love to read, in that book, it says that this is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood of the new covenant. Now, both in Matthew and Mark, they just have covenant. But in Luke, who was Dr. Luke, who was a very detailed man, and I appreciate that so much in his translation of what Jesus said, or what his words, he said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant." So we realize there that Jesus is instituting a total new thing here that's never been done before. And I believe Matthew didn't say it because he's a Jew, so it didn't click with him as much as it did maybe Dr. Luke. But here we know that it's still a covenant with Jesus.
We know in the Old Testament they had to have an animal. They'd slay the animal, and the blood of the animal covered the sin. The New Testament concept, Jesus' blood can take away the sin, and it washes it completely away. And to me, that's just miraculous. That's just... I think in the president's speech this last week, when he gave the speech for the State of the Union, he slipped a little phrase in there that talked about wonder-working power. And that comes out of a song in Christendom, by the way.
Power, wonder-working power in the blood
yes.
And, of the Lamb.
I just thought, you know, that's pretty neat. And I did hear a report yesterday on the air that only one writer in New York picked up on that. The rest of them are ignorant of the fact that that really has a very connotation to us evangelical Christians, wonder-working power.
Oh, praise God.
I'm certain that the speechwriter must have put that in there for Bush on purpose, but I praise God that we do have wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. And I want to tell you, when you learn to take communion, then you can, as the old-timers would say, long time ago, the old saints of the body of Christ would say, plead the blood. Well, plead the blood. You got a problem? Plead the blood. Well, how does that work out? Well, we teach a concept here of saying, okay, I cover my spirit, and I like to put my hand out on my midsection and say, I cover my spirit with the power of the blood. And then I touch my forehead, and I say, I cover my mind with the power of the blood of Jesus. And I put my hand on top of my head, and I said, and I say the blood of Jesus is cleansing me spiritually, mentally, and physically.
Yes.
That is a tremendous concept. And I know, Barb, when we're driving down the road, sometimes we've been in a situation where there's a lot of defilement around, a lot of confusion. And I will reach across the front seat and I'll say, I just say that the blood of Jesus is cleansing you, Barb, spiritually, mentally, physically, and the same for myself. And sometimes you reach over and do that for me.
Yes, and right now we have to make a transition here. And I know some of you, you're in your workplace and you're just grabbing a little cup of juice and crackers right at your desk. And some of you have been busy. But at this moment, you're transferring over into the spirit world. And we're no longer just drinking a cup of grape juice here or crackers. We're actually being invited here to eat of the body of Jesus Christ and drink of his blood.
Now, I would say, though, you need to see that spiritually.
Yes. That's right.
See,
we do.
That spiritually.
Now, before we take it, could we read this affirmation and also the confessions?
Yes,
of the
we can, Barb, but I need to inject this. Okay. I was taking communion with a dear friend of mine in a Holiday Inn, and we asked them, do you have grape juice? No, we don't have grape juice. Well, what do you have? We ended up using Pepsi-Cola and some crackers off the table. Now, folks, if God isn't big enough to make that in reality the blood of Jesus, then we got a problem. But what I'm telling you is, if you're in your office setting and that's all you have, I wouldn't feel bad about it. I'd just say, Lord, I just bless this cup here to become, in a spiritual sense, the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And to bless these crackers. Maybe they're leavened and unleavened, and maybe they're not. But go ahead and bless them and go for it.
All right. Well, if those of you who are listening, if you have card number 41 in your power pack, we're going to read the affirmation out loud, and we're going to read the scripture out loud before Darren reads Luke 22, 19, and 20. So let us say the affirmation aloud on card number 41. Because Jesus took of the bread and drank of the cup the night before his death, I accept communion as a vital part of the new covenant to be taken often with holy reverence and thankfulness. And now the confession of the word, Matthew 26, 28.
For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
John 6, 53 through 56.
Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my body and drinks my blood has
everlasting life. And 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of thanksgiving which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And then 1 Corinthians 11:25 through 27, this cup is
the new testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, praise the Lord. Let me read the scripture from Luke 22, and this begins in verse 14. And when the hour had come, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Now take your cup there. You may want to hold it in your hand. Take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, the cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless this communion time, to bless the cup, to bless the bread. We bless the cup, and we bless the bread in Jesus' powerful name. Now, our custom is to really take just a piece of the bread or a piece of the cracker, and we dip that in the cup, and then we serve ourselves. We, in many cases, in a service, why we'll say to, you know, if husbands, if you want to serve your wife and your children, you know, or if you're there with a friend, you might want to serve each other. Mm-hmm. But it becomes a very, very meaningful thing. It's not a dared ceremony. It's not something we just do because we're supposed to do it. Now, you see, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the broken body of Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, in Hebrews 10, he said, the body, the broken body here in communion really is the veil that's been pierced to let you into the Holy of Holies. And I'll tell you, that is such a tremendous concept. And our prayer for you today is that you'll grasp the revelation of communion. So let's go ahead and take it.
Yes, and as you've dipped your cracker into the blessed juice, then you take it and
right
eat.
In.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord Jesus, we know that you're the host of this communion meal, and we thank you for being a part of this today and for giving us the revelation on communion. Father God, this is such a strange ceremony that Jesus left for us. It's strange. But Lord God, for us to understand this, we have to see it from your perspective. So would you please tell us what this means to you in heaven? Why did you leave this for us? And I know it says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, and we're trying. But Lord, we need more than trying. We need a revelation of what communion really is. And today, I believe that revelation is being imparted to our listeners and our friends. I believe communion will never again be the same. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
And for some of you who are challenged in an area and you really feel like you need to take three or four crackers and continue with communion, be blessed by doing that. And I'm taking another part of the cracker and dipping it into the drink and saying, thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And thank you, Father, for his broken body that energizes us today in Jesus' name.
And I want to say this to you. I wouldn't pour any more grape juice or wine, if that's your tradition, than you're going to consume during this ceremony. Mm-hmm. Now, once you bless it, it's different.
Yes.
I mean, it's taken out of the ordinary and brought into the extraordinary, taken out of the natural and brought into the supernatural. Now, when you've finished dipping your cracker in the communion cup, and you say, well, I've done this now, the ceremony is over, drink the rest of the cup. Don't throw it down the sink. Because if we believe that it's really changed, then we need to treat it as holy and special.
That's right. So you may drink.
Okay, you go ahead, Barb. I'll take care of this.
All right. Some of you ask in verse 29 of Matthew 26, why did Jesus say, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom? And we say here that Jesus was called the first fruits of the resurrection. And he was in John 15, he's spoken of as the vine. He is the true fruit here. And he's saying here that I am, he is making this ceremony so important, Darren, that he is taking on the actual fruit of the vine concept. And he's becoming that drink. So Jesus cannot drink himself anymore. He's actually taking a place of that fruit of the vine here in verse 29. He's becoming that actual fruit of the vine for us as we take communion. So Jesus can't drink himself. That's ridiculous. So he's saying here, I'm going to wait until we get to heaven, and it's going to be a brand new thing up there, a brand new thing in the kingdom of God. And I really believe that's a definition of why he said that.
Well, you know, when you talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, I believe that has something to do with communion.
Praise God.
And I want to say this to you. In the first chapter of Mark, and I was reading this real early this morning, Jesus talked about cleansing. And he said, well, he was teaching as one as having authority. And then they even said to him, what is this new deal on authority? You're teaching a whole new teaching here, but it has authority with it. They recognize that authority. That, by the way, is the anointing. And then in verse 38, it says, Jesus said, let's go somewhere else to the town nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came out for. And in 1 John 3:8, it says specifically, Jesus came for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. When you come to communion, if the works of the devil have been, for example, disease in your body, as you take communion, I believe there is power released, the power of the blood of Jesus. That,
yes.
That is what tells us that Jesus is divine. His blood is different than the animal blood. That's the very bloodline of Father God that we're celebrating here, and it does have the power to take away sin and to cleanse you.
Well, we've had testimony of listeners and those who we are acquainted with that had affliction and infirmity in their bodies, and by taking communion, their body was had manifested the healing that they had stood on. And Darren, I really believe that's true. And there's so much energy in this. And I hope you enjoyed this today as you took the communion with us. I really feel like we're just so blessed to have you as a part of our family that we can take communion.
Right.
If
Amen.
You would like to know more about communion, we have a two-tape series. It's simply called Communion. And if you would like to order that, just send a check for $14 and say, I would like that two-tape series on communion, and we will send it out to you. Also, if you don't have a power pack with card number 41 on it, so you can take communion often in yourself in your home with your family, just order a power pack. They're $5. Send your $5 in to Darren Live, Box 37367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. And we'll be happy to send you out a power pack. Boy, how many sets have we sold of this power pack? Oh, God bless, you know, the man who helped me lay this out in 1991, but it has been such a blessing to so many, and also to me. I refer back to that all the time. It's not my words, Darren. This is alive. This is a word of God here, alive.
Yeah, this little power pack, we put those in the same plastic covers that we send out tapes in. And That means that it's pocket size. It'll fit in your purse or your pocket. It's very convenient. Do yourself a favor, though. If I were you, I'd order two at the same time, because people always say, oh, I got to have some more of those cards. There's some people that give them away by the dozens, but yes. You'll find it's a great thing. And on the back of the card, there's an index that will talk about the various areas: hopelessness, fear, infirmity, disease, shame, and then authority and dominion in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the word of faith. So it's a victory pack.
I think one of the most important cards in this whole thing, if you've had unworthiness or abuse in your own life, is card number 29, God's love for me. And I believe if you memorize that card, you would understand God's everlasting love for you. So I would say again, if you don't have a power packet, they're only $5. That hasn't changed for years, and I know everything else is going up in price, but this power pack is still $5.
Power pack is a very expensive thing to put out. Surprise you. I mean, for this deck of cards, you want that kind of money. Let me tell you, the answers are there, and that's what you want.
It's
not intellectual property. It's the word of God. We want you to have it. And I believe you have, what do you have, 41, 42 cards here?
Yes, and thank you, Mom, for putting them in those little, our mom does this for us.
She puts them
all
in
there. We take all of the cards up there with all these empty cassette cases, and Mom and my nieces and nephews put them together for us.
She ropes in the grandkids.
So thank you so much. They're wonderful hands, and they're anointed hands that put these cards into these packs.
Right now, today, this has been an actual communion time with you, and we praise God for this awesome privilege that we have of being with you today in this ceremony of communion. But I need to tell you, part of this today is to teach you how to do this. Now, sometimes you have dear friends over, don't spend the whole evening just yakking and watching television and playing games and doing all this stuff. What would happen if you stop in the middle of the evening and say, now listen, we're all Christians here, would you guys mind taking communion with us? And then break out the communion elements and do what we did, pray over them. And maybe you want to all offer up, I need this from the Lord, I have this concern. And you put those concerns under the blood of Jesus and go ahead and take communion. Mm-hmm. And you watch God begin to energize your faith. Mm-hmm. Some of you have kind of gotten a little cold, and I don't work, I've been there. But this is one way to draw close to Jesus in a very warm, current fashion.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, as you learn to do this at home, and you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to run off to a priest, you don't have to only have it in church. Yes, this Holy Communion can be taken at your house. And that's what they did in the book of Acts. Those laymen went from house to house breaking bread.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy